Hafa day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
And I'm telling you, for some of you today that are hearing my voice, you have great pain and great sorrow and great struggles, and it is not that God does not extend forgiveness through you. You are bottling it up. You are afraid to let it go.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
I was reading last week of John Wycliffe, who in the mid-1300s was a noted pastor and teacher and author at the time, but he began reading more and more of the scriptures and began realizing that some of the teachings at that day that he was involved with were not accurate. John Wycliffe began speaking out vocally against infant baptism. He began speaking out against transubstantiation, that the elements in the communion didn't become the actual blood and body of Christ, but were symbolic of Christ's body and blood. He also then brought great pressure on himself physically and bodily. One of the greatest events that put him into a whole nother category was when he began stating that the Latin that was being read in Scripture to people that would come to church and they couldn't understand the Bible, in essence, was chained to the ornate pulpits of its day, needed to be into the masses, the hands of the people. And so he began working on translating the Bible into the known language of its day, which at that time was English. And that brought great pressure on John Wycliffe, to the point that he had to end up escaping many times with his own life, and there was people that were in high positions of authority that came to his aid. One guy, John Gaunt, who was 6'9" tall, besides his own physical presence, the power of his own place kept Wycliffe from being killed. Eventually, in time, John Wycliffe was known as the morning star of the Reformation, because the things that he said and did became patterns for a man named Martin Luther 200 years later to end up revolutionizing what Christianity was in its day. And a powerful example of things that he wrote. Fact is, in the flyleaf of his Bible, he made a statement that really summed up what his drive and passion was. He said it this way: the Bible is translated and shall make possible a government of the people, by the people, for the people. And in making that statement, not realizing that 500 years later, a known man that became quite popular in his own right made that and lifted that statement off of his flyleaf and put it into what became a very known statement, as he made this statement, this president, Lincoln, the New World, who had promised, quote, a new birth of freedom based on a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And of course, less than a year and a half later, President Lincoln was killed. And among the hundreds who reported his death, one put his finger on that truth when he wrote of Lincoln, "The death of Lincoln marks the end of an era." But it was the same hold true years earlier with John Wycliffe, who on the events that took place in his life, it really was an era that began. And so in certain lives, you find that their life either starts an era or as Lincoln ended an era. And so it is when you look at Scripture and you look at this particular person, the life of David, that as one author said, some lives are so significant in courageous accomplishments that they form the beginning of an era. Their persons and those shoes of those folks are so big that after his death, nobody can fill them. And that certainly is the truth of David. And I'd like to challenge you with this one particular topic of why God chose David out of his own heart, and maybe we will never know, but his heart expressed God's heart, and the greatest element of God's heart was expressing forgiveness. Do you end up giving forgiveness? As you've received it, do you give it? Maybe one episode that would express all of what I'm talking about is in this passage in 2 Samuel 16. Let me give it to you in brief. We won't read through all of it. That David now, he's here somewhere in his age of 60, and his own son Absalom, who gains the control of the kingdom, and now is forcing his own father out of the kingdom. And then it says, and when King David, verse 5 of chapter 16 of 2 Samuel, and when David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, you bloody man, the man of Belial. The Lord's returned upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord's delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. And behold, you are taken in your mischief. Behold, you are a bloody man. Powerful, simple, little, but painful illustration of what I want to talk about today. Let me give it to you very quickly because the outline is pretty simple. I'll give you two basic thoughts. One of them is the downward progression of unforgiveness. And then I want to finish very quickly with the principles and dynamic principles that will help you today in forgiveness. Let me spend just a little bit of time with this downward spiral, as you would see Shimei, who is expressing an unforgiving heart towards David, who evidently Shimei is thinking, hey, I deserve this man. And good, David, you're getting what you deserve because Saul's kingdom, we are at the top again. But the emotion of anger becomes a doorstop so many times to closing the hinge of forgiveness on our past. And if you as a Christian are continually wanting to move forward in your walk with God, you find yourself limited and hindered. I promise you, it is about this area right here. Is it something that you're not willing to give up and forgive? And the expression of it sometimes can explode. You see, there becomes a downward plunge on this here. And that's why the beauty of all of this, where David here finds himself stating, I'm not going to do anything about this. We have enough pain and sorrow and difficulties. I'm not going to do this to anybody. And to follow through with this, notice two chapters later, in particular verse in 2 Samuel chapter 19, because now, if we could fast forward to David's life, David now is being brought back to the kingdom. Things are being resolved and put back together. And guess who comes along now? Notice chapter 19, verse 16. And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bahura, hastened and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. Can you picture this? You know, it was just like hours, maybe a day before all that took place in front of everybody. And now he comes with his tail tucked between his legs. And all of a sudden, he hastens. And the long story short, he's coming and he's saying, verse 21, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this because he cursed the Lord's anointed? The result of all of this, notice verse 22, David said, what have I to do with you? He says to Abishai, that you should this day be adversities with me, adversaries with me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? Therefore the king said to Shimei, thou shalt not die. And the king sware unto him. Forgiveness, forgiveness. You say, well, pastor, ha, 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 I know, because I know really what happened later, about a dozen years later, David on his deathbed whispers to Solomon, his son, there's three guys I want you to make sure and take care of business. And one of them was Shimei. You say, well, he didn't forgive him. Ha, 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 ha. My point would be, just as was with Joab, because those are the two guys that he ended up saying, Solomon, you need to take care of business. I personally believe it was not out of personal vendetta. It was out of a kingdom safety. And that's why he said that to Solomon. Solomon, for the best of the kingdom, you better take care of what needs to be happened with Shimei. And he was still gracious by saying to Shimei, Shimei, listen, here's the freedom you have, but do not extend the borders. You move outside of your borders of that city, you're going to kill yourself because we're going to kill it. And that's exactly what ended up happening. Shimei created his own little box he had to live within. That wasn't out of a personal vendetta on David. David gave what he knew he received. Full forgiveness. And I'm telling you, for some of you today that are hearing my voice, you have great pain and great sorrow and great struggles, and it is not that God does not extend forgiveness through you. You are bottling it up. You are afraid to let it go. Like that father so many times, and that mother that takes that little child and has that hand so balled up, and they're saying, honey, just open your hand, open your hand. And there's a splinter right here, and honey, it's going to be a little bit of pain, but we're going to get that out. And they don't want to let go. They don't want to let go. And if they don't let go, that little splinter is going to get worse and get infected, and it's going to be a big problem. You know what God's trying to say? Just as he did with David. David, just as David received forgiveness, you can give forgiveness. And that is the power in which for you, my friend, will receive the same amount of power. I'll give you these four principles, and I think they'll make sense to you very simply. They express what Matthew 18 deals with, and we don't have time to go through the whole passage. We're on New Testament passage, Matthew 18. I'll give you three verses, verse 21 and 22. Because this is what the New Testament deals with as these principles to hold true that are dynamic and will change a life. Matthew 18 is the New Testament principle to what the Old Testament narrative story that we read of Shimei. And you know what it was? God giving forgiveness through David. In other words, David found himself expressing forgiveness just as Matthew 18 in this story of the man that was under great debt and was forgiven much, and then he wouldn't forgive a little. And this is what Christ said, Matthew 18 in verse 21. Then came Peter him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. You remember the passage? Till seven times. And Jesus said, I'm saying unto you, until seven times, but under 70 times, because the rabbis were saying three times. That's all they get. Peter said, how about seven? And amazingly so, but I believe in the eschatology of the church between the 69th and 70th week of Daniel and Daniel 9, it happens to be the church age that Jesus said, oh, 70 times 7, you forgive 490 times. And get these three words down because these are great little words, a reminder. How do I forgive? Forgive frequently. Forgive frequently. That's what he's saying. You say, Pastor, I am having a hard time with this. How often I do this? Do it frequently. Number two, he says it in verse 32, do it freely. Give that forgiveness freely. He said it this way, then the Lord, he called him, said to him, oh, wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you desired me. He gave it freely. And then also notice in verse 35, so likewise, my heavenly Father, do also to you. If you from your heart forgive not every one of his brothers their trespasses, do it fully. You want Bible forgiveness. As you receive it from Christ, you give it out to others. You do it frequently. And that almost means daily. You do it freely. I'm not holding anything back. As God gave it to me, as David cried out, so I do to others. And I give it fully. I'm not holding anything back. It's not conditional. It's not partial. It's not delayed. I don't want the downward plunge. Then I can sense the genuine heart of God. But today, maybe you need healing. Maybe there, as I have been preaching, there has been a specific person, the specific situation you can remember as if it happened yesterday that's hurt you, and you've harbored it, you hung on to it, and like that splinter in that little child's hand, you're not going to open up your heart. God has given you forgiveness, and please be willing to give that to others.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.